Around about Easter time, and I know that's a way off yet, we think and talk a lot about the resurrection of Jesus. But as we continue in this series, Extravagant Grace, we can't keep going without talking about your resurrection, the new life that Jesus came to bring you. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thank you so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. And yes, today we're going to spend some time taking a look at what God has to say about the amazing, the stunning new life that He has ready and waiting for you. So let's head into God's Word, and please do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about a free booklet called Extravagant Grace, a booklet that I'd love to send to you to help you lay hold of God's grace, to help you live day by day in God's grace. There are times in our lives when we wish we could have a fresh start, the slate wiped clean, and a fresh new future to look forward to. Maybe we're tired of the same old at work, the relationships, doing the same things, going to the same place day after day. Wouldn't a new job or even a new career be fantastic? Or perhaps we've made a mess of something in our lives, and we look at ourselves in the mirror and we think, I am such a pitiful sight. If I only could get over this mess that I've made and move on and start again. And sometimes it just comes by the way of the proverbial midlife crisis, the desire for a fresh new start. However it comes, there invariably seems to be one problem. The slate never seems to be wiped quite clean enough. The past can come back to haunt us over and over and over again. I guess as I talk about that, this idea of a fresh new start, it makes me think back to 13 years or so ago when I became a Christian. Life, well, was pretty much a mess. My fault, greed and working too hard and all that stuff that men of my generation go through in their lives. And everything fell apart on me. The dreams I had for the future lay shattered on the ground. And I never ever thought at that point, when life was difficult and dark, that I could possibly have a fresh start. You don't when you're in that place. You're not good enough. Nothing will ever happen. The past seems to dominate the future. Have you ever felt like that? I know your story and my story, they're going to be different. You know, we've been through different things. But this sense of wanting just a new start and not being able to lay hold of that is something that so often we go through. And you hear Christians talk about being born again. And back then, that sounded to me like some idea from a cult. But actually, it's not. It's an idea that Jesus came up with. He said, unless you are born again, you simply can't see the kingdom of God. Now, that sounds kind of weird, but it speaks about a new start, a new beginning. The Apostle Paul talks about it some more. Last week, and again this week, we're going through a teaching series that I've called Extravagant Grace. People talk about grace as though it's an ordinary thing. But grace, God's grace, is far from ordinary. It's extravagant, abundant, over the top. We start seeing God for who He is, a God who wants to bless you and me so outrageously. And then the greatest blessing of all is a new start, a slate wiped completely clean, something He gives us through Jesus Christ. When we have a mess in our lives, whatever we do, however we get there, here and there, we're going to go through this, we're going to go through that. So often, we don't make the connection between what we're going through in life on the one hand and our relationship with God on the other. Whatever you might be going through, let me say this really clearly and succinctly. The answer is Jesus Christ. Let's have a look at what the Apostle Paul writes. If you have a Bible, grab it, open it up. You're going to need it. We're going to Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. What shall we say then, writes Paul? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may abound? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through the baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Talk about a new start. See, there's a link here between the mess in our lives and our relationship with God. And that link is a small three-letter word called sin. It's when we turn our backs on God, when we go our own way. And there's only one place that's going to end up: in a mess. This is for anyone who's never met Jesus Christ. But you know something? This message is also for you if you believe in him, but you're struggling with stuff called sin in your life right now. Because sin is like a cancer. In fact, so often people give their lives to Jesus, and yet it still feels like an old life and not a new life, because we haven't really made that fresh start. Paul takes us through what happens when we give our lives to Jesus, dying to the old self and rising again to a new life, a life lived for God, a death and a resurrection. There's two ways of looking at this. The first is as an allegory, a metaphor. And I guess it's a useful metaphor as far as metaphors go. A picture is worth a thousand words, and death and resurrection is a good metaphor, dying to sin. But what Paul's talking about goes so much further here than just a mere allegory. He's talking about a spiritual reality, a reality that God is calling us to, you and me, today, to come to grips with. He's calling us to make the link between the stuff going on in our lives and our sin. Jesus died to pay for our sin. When we put our faith in him, we too die with him. The old man, the old woman, the selfish person is nailed to a cross in God's eyes, and we rise again with Jesus to a new life, a resurrection life, a life that comes to us by virtue of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. That's how God sees it. And when we die to sin and we rise again as a new man or a new woman, that slate is wiped clean. It is forgiven through what Jesus did on the cross. We have a new start. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. The old self is crucified, sin is done away with, and in verse 11, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. For sin will no longer have dominion over you, since you are no longer under the rule of law, but under grace. There it is, God's extravagant grace. And what God is saying to us here through Paul is simply this: I have set you free. The old you is dead. Now rise up and take this new life that I have bought for you at such a great price. Come on, take it. It's my invitation to you. It's time for you to see your life the way that I see it. Because my son, Jesus, sin no longer has any power over you. You are free. You are forgiven. The slate is wiped clean. Look at this through my eyes. Rise up and live this new life by my grace, by God's extravagant grace.
I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. I just want to take a moment during this short break to share something truly important with you. The grace of God isn't just a concept. It's not just a theory. The extravagant grace of God is meant to have an impact in your life. It's meant to help you lay hold of the new life that God has ready and waiting for you through Jesus Christ. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called Extravagant Grace. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you lay hold of the grace of God in your life. In fact, at the end of each chapter, you'll find a series of life application questions to help you think through and apply God's Word right into the realities of your life. So to request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com, and you'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. Again, that web address is christianityworks.com. Freedom is the most amazing concept. In fact, freedom is one of the biggest outcomes of experiencing God's extravagant grace in our lives. But again, for most people, freedom isn't that strong a felt need. Yet freedom from sin, freedom from the effects of sin, freedom to be all that God's made you to be, freedom to do all that God's made you to do, that sort of freedom is exactly what we need. I can't imagine what it must be like to be a slave. Do you know that today there are over 20 million slaves in this world? 20 million. That's the population of Australia, most of them in the sex trade for prostitution. And yet so many of us are slaves to our old ways, slaves to ways of thinking and habits and patterns of behaviour that are no less devastating in our lives. It's a form of slavery to self, to a thing that God calls sin. Not some old-fashioned moralizing notion of sin, just the reality that in so many parts of our lives, we can so easily stray away from God's wonderful plans and do it our way, and we end up in slavery to my way. It's different for each one of us. We each have different Achilles heels, if you like. Perhaps it's anger. You know, there are people who are slaves to anger, or maybe it's sexual immorality, or money, or whatever it is. My hunch is that you know what it is in your life. But here's the thing, you and I have a choice in this matter. You and I are free to choose who or what we want to be slaves to. Over the last 13 years of my life, that's how long it's been since I accepted Jesus Christ as my Saviour, I've come to experience a new freedom that I never thought was possible. You see, BJ, before Jesus, I looked at the whole Christianity thing, and to tell you the truth, it appeared to me that if I accepted it, if I became a so-called Christian, I'd end up with a stunted life. So many things you can't do. Don't do this, don't do that. Who needs that in their lives? I look back on that attitude now and realize that back then, I was a slave to myself. I was so wrapped up in me and making money and what other people thought of me and climbing to the top, I was a slave to that. Now, I thought it was freedom, but actually, it was a terrible prison cell. I want to share with you today God's take on slavery and freedom, something that he reveals through the Apostle Paul and what he writes in his letter to the Roman church 2,000 years ago. We're going to pick up in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Have a listen. It's really good stuff, a really different angle. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as a slave, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God, though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Never really think about the fact that we're slaves to that rubbish, to wrongdoing, to anger and envy and selfishness and greed and all that stuff. We think that's our freedom, but it's a delusion. Freedom makes your spirit soar. Freedom brings a delight to your heart. Freedom is an utterly wondrous thing. You look at it and you marvel at it and you wouldn't swap it for the world. And as I look back on what I used to call freedom, it was none of those things. Let's be honest. Cheating, stealing, gossiping, all that stuff, that's not freedom. Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 6, verse 19, let me put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, which leads to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? Those things resulted in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. See, the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And what Paul's saying here is about swapping the bad slavery for a good slavery. See, at some point, Jesus comes knocking on your door with an invitation to give your life to him. For some people, that happened years ago, and perhaps it's happening to someone right now as I speak. And in our hearts, we say to him, yes, yes, that's what I want. I want Jesus. I want to give my life over to him. And yet we can do that
and still be slaves to sin. We have a decision to make. Are we going to give every part of our lives over to Him? All those things I used to do, there's no place for that in my life anymore. It's a radical thought. We've been slaves to them for a lifetime. Giving them up? That's hard. That's a sacrifice to become a slave to righteousness, to goodness. You know, when we do something good, it gives us such an incredibly wonderful feeling on the inside. Maybe it involves sacrifice at the time, but it ultimately feels great. Parents bringing up a child is a huge sacrifice, isn't it? But then one day you look at them and all that blood and sweat and tears and they've grown into this amazing adult. It's a fantastic feeling. We're going to be slaves to something in life, good or bad. And when we become slaves to goodness, to God, it is a fantastic thing. Just knowing we're heading down the right path. Listen again, that's exactly what Paul is saying. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefits did you reap at the time from those things of which you are now ashamed? Those things resulted in death, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit that you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life. We reap what we sow. If we're slaves to sin, we're going to reap death, here and now and into eternity. But if we're slaves to God, we give our lives over to Him. If we sacrifice for Him, let go of that rubbish for Him, we reap good things from Him, God things, eternal things. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to encourage you today to take stock. Who or what are you a slave to? Whose patterns? Whose way is the way of death or the way of life? Choose life. Choose life for Christ's sake. Choose freedom from sin and death and a glorious, wondrous slavery to God. It's an incredible paradox because it's only as we give over every part of our lives, our thoughts and dreams and resources and what we say and what we do, everything, that we discover the freedom of life in Jesus Christ. Choose life for Christ's sake.
I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. As we take this short break, I'd like to tell you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you draw closer to God. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional with a scripture verse and some words of inspiration, hope and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. God's Word, fresh for you each day. It's completely free. To get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, freshdevotional.org. You'll see that Fresh Devotional sign up right there at the top of the page. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is freshdevotional.org. So go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through His Word. So many people struggle with sin and temptation, and when you're in that place, it feels as though you're the only one. All those other super Christians out there, they seem to have their acts all together. Well, if you've ever found yourself in that place, I have something incredibly powerful and encouraging to share with you right now. Have you ever felt torn inside between this and that, good and bad, right and wrong? Well, you wouldn't be alone in that department. On the one hand, the grace of God is such an amazing thing, extravagant, over the top. I mean, fancy coming up with a plan of love for you and me that involves His Son suffering and dying on a cross. And then along the way in life, in the face of that extravagant grace, we struggle to honour God. We struggle to lay down our selfishness and our sin and all that rubbish. And that's so discouraging. It gets us down. We get to feeling, see, I'm just not worthy of this grace. I don't deserve it. Never mind that's the whole point about grace. And you know that feeling causes so many people to drift away from God? I blew it. I just blew it. It's no use. I can't live this life. But then God comes along to speak about His extravagant grace. I just want to spend a little time together exploring a story of a man who had exactly that problem, a man who, it turned out, God used mightily. God commissioned him to write almost half the books in the New Testament. And yet,
He had exactly that same problem as you and me. He knew so wonderfully well about the grace of God, and yet he was torn between that extravagant grace on the one hand and his desires to get out there and do the wrong thing on the other. In effect, rejecting God's grace through his actions. And it turns out God is wonderful because this man, Paul, shares his dilemma with us in his letter to the Roman church that he wrote almost 2,000 years ago. He writes about his inner conflict, a conflict that can tear us apart, a conflict that because of the guilt and the condemnation, we end up feeling, well, it tears us apart from God. Have a listen to what he writes. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. We know the law is spiritual, but I'm not. I'm sold as a slave into sin. I don't understand why I do what I do. You know, the stuff that I don't want to do, I do. And the stuff that I do want to do, I can't. And if I do what I don't want to do, okay, I agree, God's law is good. As it is, it's no longer me doing it, but sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives inside of me. That is in my sinful nature. For I desire to do what's good, but I just can't do it. For what I do is not the good that I want to do, no. I end up doing the evil I don't want to do. Now, if I do what I don't want to do, it's no longer me doing it, but it's sin living in me. So this is the law I find at work. When I want to do good, evil is right here with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's word, but I see another law at work in my members, waging a war against the law of the mind and making me a prisoner to the law of sin within my members. What a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. See the struggle? Doesn't he put it so well? I don't understand what I'm doing. The things I don't want to do, I do. The things I do want to do, I can't. And that, my friend, is a dilemma that everybody who gives their lives over to Jesus Christ faces. The old person, the old man, the old woman inside us just doesn't want to die. Earlier today, we looked at the fact that we've died in Christ and risen to a new life. And we have. That's the way that God sees it. The war is won. And yet the thing that so discourages us is that we just can't seem to fall in line some days with that amazing plan. It's as though the old person inside us, the sinful nature, is still there rotting away, pumping its poison through our very being. And that's what Paul writes about. In that passage when he talks about this body of sin and death, how am I going to get rid of it? What he's referring to, he's alluding to a Roman torture. They would strap a dead body face to face with a living person. Imagine a corpse strapped to your front and you're face to face with this dead body and they'd leave it there for days or weeks, rotting, strapped to you. Who will rescue me from this body? Takes on a whole new meaning. Such a gruesome, vivid picture of our sinful nature. For me, it describes so well the guilt and the condemnation that poisons me when some days I get things wrong. What a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, Romans chapter 8 verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. See, it's the condemnation that pulls us away from God. We get it wrong and we think we can't go to God. We feel condemned, and that's the wedge that sin drives between God and us. But there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, none. Do you see the answer? The answer is the extravagant grace of God. He's always willing to forgive. You take away the condemnation, you take away the power of sin to pull us away from God. Do you get it? All we need is the smallest grain of faith that God is a God of extravagant grace in Jesus Christ. Earlier in the program, in Romans 6:14, we saw that sin will have no more power over you since you are not under the rule of law, but under grace. It's a double-edged sword. It keeps us from sin and allows us to deal with the dilemma of sin when we stumble and fall. Every time we stumble, we can pick ourselves up, put our faith in the extravagant grace of the cross of Christ, and it changes us on the inside. Instead of condemnation, we discover grace afresh and anew. And that, my friend, is how God wipes the slate clean. Sin will have no more power over you, since you are not under the rule of law, but under the extravagant grace of God.
pretty much all we have time for today. But before I go, there's something very important that I need to share with you. Our passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer in a rich, dynamic, powerful relationship with Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you to check out the treasure trove of practical, relevant, and life-changing Bible teaching available at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. It's full of free resources to help you draw closer to God. So dive into the Media Lounge to watch our weekly Christianity Works television broadcast or the daily fresh devotional videos. Everything's been conveniently categorized so that you can filter the content to quickly lay hold of just the teaching that you need for what you're going through today. Remember, everything on the site is free, including that booklet I mentioned earlier, Extravagant Grace, and the fresh daily devotional. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact in your life, to bring you His joy, His peace, and His power. So go on, head across to our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time next week, with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.